Hi, this is Betty, and I'm reading from the News Gazette on Friday, October 30th, and it's a very lovely morning. Okay, we have, again, Restore Illinois Phase 4, Day 127. And in for the state of Illinois, there's 395,458 cases, which in one day it increased by 6,363 cases, and there are 9,675 deaths, which was an increase over yesterday of 56 deaths. In Champaign County, 6,251 cases, which was an increase of 75 cases over yesterday, and with 28 deaths. Douglas County, 811 cases, which is an increase of 32 cases over yesterday, and 10 deaths. In Ford County, there was 272. There was no information available on increase, and then there was 15 deaths. Vermilion County, 1,617 cases, and that was an increase of 33 with 13 deaths. And U of I campus, 2,973 cases, which was an increase of 34 cases, and there are no deaths. And the little blurbs on Illinois impact. A woman in her 70s became the 15th Ford County resident to lose their life to COVID-19. Deaths from COVID-19 are up 82% since the beginning of October, Governor J.B. Pritzker said. As it's another blurb, as its 7-day positivity rate continued to climb from 6.7 to 6.9%, the state set its third single-day record for new cases in a week. Here's another one. Hospitalization held at 6 in Champaign County and dropped by 1 to 17 in Vermilion County. Vermilion's 7-day positivity rate was up slightly from 7.7 to 7.8, while Champaign's minus U of I test rose from 4.8 to 5.2. And nearly half of the county's active cases are in Champaign, 228 out of the 473 cases. And the next four towns are Rantoul has 72, Urbana has 62, Mahomet has 28, and St. Joseph has 21. And see, 34 cases emerged from 9,579 tests on campus, a rate of 4%. So that's the short and not so sweet on the COVID results on the state of Illinois. And more mitigations very likely in region, and this is by Ben Zigderman. Local health officials asked residents to gear up for more COVID-19 mitigations and not grow weary of public health guidelines, especially as the holidays and colder weather push people indoors. At a virtual news conference Thursday, Champaign-Urbana Public Health Administrator Julie Pride said it is very likely more mitigations will soon be imposed on the East Central Illinois region, as it has gone 2 days with a test positivity of 8% and above. The guidelines have been very clear. 3 days with a region over 8% gets you tier one mitigations. Among the many new restrictions the state could impose are 11 p.m. bar and restaurant closings, no indoor service at bars and restaurants, and further restrictions on gathering sizes. Community transmission is occurring in our county, and the cases are increasing in older persons, not just those under 30. This is going to lead to an increase in hospitalizations and deaths as it moves into older populations. She said the outbreak at Lincoln's Challenge Academy in Rantoul is for the most part in a contained environment, as is the cases at the University of Illinois. Now, much of the spread is happening at gatherings of friends and family. Where many of us fall short are in our interactions with our family and friends. This is often where we're gathering and where transmission is occurring. And she said that while Champaign County is doing a good job of following public health guidance, the higher community spread is making any trip to a store or a friend's house more risky. Just because you may have been meeting with your grandkids or your kids or whoever that aren't living in your household, if you're doing that now with community transmission so high, there's a higher likelihood that you could get infected from that. And once it's in the household, usually the entire household gets it. Because it takes a couple of days for symptoms to appear, Pride said people might return to their jobs and spread it further before realizing they have COVID-19, and it continues the cycle. Pride said there haven't been too many super spreading events locally, but again warned of the weddings being planned. We have been getting notifications of weddings of 250 people. If you're not going to work within the guidance, you are likely going to have your event ruined by getting it shut down. She said the public health district has more than 180 contacts, tracers, including 59 new hires and counting. We're still hiring, Pride said. She also addressed delays in testing at Marketplace Mall, which she said were due to a switch from a paper-based system to a computer-based system. They're just getting caught up with that. The mall testing should actually get faster. The next story on the front page is strange stadium scene. Cutouts in place of fans, marching band on video. And there's a picture of a young U of I student putting up cutout pictures of fans who have had their picture made for the cutouts. And this is by Bob Asmussen. The most unusual football game in the 96 years of Memorial Stadium happened Saturday on the University of Illinois campus. Zach Acton will be there for every second, crossing his fingers. "I feel pretty good about it," said Acton, the U of I assistant athletic director slash event management. "We've tried to check all the boxes of any scenario that does pop up. I think it will be a pretty mellow event. It's like a much more glorified, large, springy game in my world of event management." Acton talked to his counterparts in the conference who have already hosted games. Acton, who has been at the U of I since 2011, plans to arrive at the stadium at 6 a.m. Acton has a group of about 40 workers who will be tested on both Friday and Saturday morning. They need to pass both tests to receive a credential. And the group includes anyone who interacts with players and coaches. The smallish crowd of about 1,000 guests of players and coaches for both Illinois and Purdue will be seated on the west side of the stadium. To get into the game, guests of the players and coaches must be on a will call list. There will be temperature checks for all indoor spaces, press box, and premium seats. Some of the player guests are suite holders who will be allowed in that area. BTN, which is televising the game, has its own testing protocols. There will be no tailgating in the numerous parking lots near the stadium. Acton reminds the fans to stay away. Parking will be limited to State Farm Center lots and E14. Parking staff will be on the grounds. Getting back to Mike Epstein's days playing peewee football, his dad Dave has been at every game until last week. No fans were allowed at Wisconsin's Camp Randall Stadium, not even the parents of players. The Epsteins nervously watched from their home in Florida. Are the Epsteins coming to Memorial Stadium this week? You bet. The family planned to fly to Indianapolis on Thursday night and drive the rest of the way. The Epstein travel party includes Dave, Mike's mom, Liz, and his sister Melanie. There will be 1,150 fan cutouts seated at Memorial Stadium on Saturday. The first batch went in on Monday, with the rest installed Thursday. I'm very happy with the turnout we had, U of I Senior Associate Director Cassie Arner said. We didn't give people a whole lot of time. We got this turned around pretty quickly. Some of the cutouts will be signed by Coach Lovey Smith and returned. The promotion helped raise more than $10,000 to help with injured Illini Bobby Roundtree's recovery from a serious spine injury. Arner said Illinois is going to try to replicate the sounds of a typical conference game. The Big Ten approved artificial crowd noise for games. There will be a baseline crowd noise that plays no matter what is happening on the field. The school has the ability to use dynamic reaction sounds. As a play develops, the noise from the loudspeaker will fit the action. A long run starts a swell. There's the oohs. If there's a missed pass, there are all kinds of different noises. The marching Illini won't be physically at the game, but it's pre-recorded special videos that will be shown on the scoreboard. There will be a pregame show and halftime show. There will also be band cutouts sitting in the band section. Lovey Smith likes routines. He has established a schedule for Fridays and Saturdays that he sticks to whenever possible. Like in previous seasons, the team will continue to spend Friday night at Champaign's Hyatt Place. John Sullivan will be at the Illinois-Purdue game, but not in his usual role as the vice president of Block I. Instead, the junior from Crystal Lake will be working with the street team, part of the program within the Illinois Athletic Department. The Block I is holding an optional gathering at Legends in Champaign. Block I will set up a permanent card stunt each week that will be set up in its usual sections in the north end zone. And today's set list is the title of the story, and it's Jim Rossaw, and it's a centennial celebration on campus. It could be a while before the next big music act is booked at State Farm Center, but campus will have that concert feel again at 3 p.m. today when the Marching Illini join Tina Horton to commemorate the 100-year anniversary of the famed Altgeld Hall chimes. Here's the planned set list, courtesy of Horton, a musicology grad student and the official Altgeld chime master, whose performance will be live streamed at go.illinois.edu/chimes100. And here are the 10 songs that she is going to be playing on Altgeld chimes. Number 1, By the Rivers Gently Flowing. Number 2, Illinois Loyalty. Number 3, Doxology. Number 4, Coming Through the Y. Number 5, Adeste Fideis, a.k.a. University Anthem. Number 6, America the Beautiful. Number 7, The Ash Grove. Number 8, Lift Every Voice and Sing. Number 9, Bahe Kubo. And number 10, Hail to the Orange. Again, you can listen to that today at go.illinois.edu/chimes100. And the last story on the front page. County clerk fires back at GOP accusers. And this is by Deborah Pressey. A day after a group of Champaign County Republicans filed an election-related lawsuit against Democratic County Clerk Aaron Ammons, Ammons called the county GOP an embarrassment. For the last 80 years, the local Republicans' party has held the office of county clerk, and now with a Democratic clerk who is actively working to enfranchise eligible voters, the Republicans are desperately attempting to suppress the vote, he wrote in a statement Thursday. They no longer have the ability to suppress votes of students and people of color, So they are implementing tactics from Donald Trump's playbook, he wrote in the statement. The Champaign County Republican Central Committee and its chairman, Dee Schonkweiler, County Board member Stanley Harper, and Sadorus voter Jody Seibold filed a 7-page complaint for an injunction Wednesday, asking a judge to require Ammons to produce certain election-related materials they have sought. Instead of propagating the inaccurate and illegal claims of Trump, I suggest, Republican Champaign County Recorder Mark Sheldon, Stan Harper, and Dee Schonkweiler focus on why Republicans are losing race after race in Champaign County, Ammons wrote. Clearly, they have time on their hands, and there are much more effective ways to use it rather than lying to the voters of Champaign County. Ammons went on to say more than 50,000 people have already voted safely and securely in Champaign County, and we are 5 days away from what is shaping up to be the largest voter turnout in the history of the county. For the last month, the clerk's office has had the pleasure of working with numerous Republican election judges, and these individuals are dedicating their time and energy in the middle of a pandemic to make sure our democracy is fair, free, and accessible to all, Ammons wrote. The current county Republican Party is an embarrassment to their work and commitment. The Republican complaint alleged Ammons mailed applications for ballots to about 146 people who the plaintiffs allege no longer meet Champaign County residency requirements. They also want a judge to order Ammons to produce several pieces of information, including lists of voters who were sent vote-by-mail ballots, a list of voters who have returned the ballots, a list of voters who were sent vote-by-mail applications, lists of appointed election judges for Tuesday's election and election judge vacancies, and a list of employees working the counting station and procedures being used in inactivate voters for the upcoming elections. Later Thursday, the Champaign County Republicans responded to Ammon's statement with one of their own, calling their request for an injunction an effort to ensure that next week's is a fair election where every citizen of the county has their voice heard. In order to have a fair election, the law provides for the monitoring of the election process by the citizens, the GOP statement said. Statement went on to say, in March, the county clerk was found by the bipartisan State Board of Elections to have violated a number of provisions of the election code, including the tabulating of ballots early and in secret. For the fall election, the clerk has refused numerous requests for documents and access to the voting process. For this reason, the Republican Party has been forced to go to court to protect the rights of citizens. A hearing on the complaint for injunction is set for 1 p.m. today before Champaign County Judge John Kennedy. Okay, for the second part of the News Gazette in our county, it says, for trick-or-treaters, it's a mixed bag, and this is by Dave Hinton. People are getting creative to keep Halloween alive during this time of COVID-19. In Arthur, the virus made carving and displaying 200 lighted pumpkins more difficult due to fewer volunteers. Still, one of the town's top tourist attractions this time of year, the lighted pumpkin house at 235 South Vine Street, goes on as scheduled through Saturday. In the past, school children helped to gut and carve the pumpkins. Other helpers have included local Boy Scouts. It's been much more of a challenge. The school kids weren't able to help because of the shortened school days, said Bruce Wood, who started the pumpkin house tradition 18 years ago. We just didn't have as many volunteers. A lot of the work fell on myself and some friends from Arcola and Arthur. The pumpkin carving takes place at Knight's Court in Arthur. The local football team helped set up some blocks and the boards on which the pumpkins are set. The pumpkins are lit with Christmas lights attached to a timer to come on just before dusk and go off between 9 and 10 p.m. Some other volunteers have stepped forward. One Tolono family has come the last 3 years to help carve. The Great Pumpkin Patch outside of town each year donates the orange gourds for the project, which are displayed outside a house owned by Noel Dix. Ward said he came up with the idea after seeing a Victorian mansion in Canova, West Virginia, decorated with 3,000 pumpkins. Christy Miller, Arthur, Director of Tourism and Economic Development, said the Pumpkin House has become well known. People come from as far as Charleston and Decatur. Top honors, though, goes to a group from China that was visiting the area. Miller said they had never seen a pumpkin before. Miller's office is next to the Pumpkin House, and she sees cars lined up there at all hours of the day. It's not uncommon, even during the day, to see cars stopped or in the past, kids showing their parents the pumpkins they made. And in Camargo, a lighted cart parade is generally part of the village's annual Woolly Worm Festival. Because of the pandemic, the festival had to be canceled. Just not the parade, it was moved to Saturday. We just didn't think the Woolly Worm Festival would be a good idea because people are more apt to mingle and be in close contact. We decided to move it to Halloween as an alternative in trick-or-treating. Children are still able to go door-to-door for trick-or-treating from 5 to 7 p.m. The parade starts at 7 from the community building in Opal Thompson Park. Parade participants are being encouraged to bring packaged store-bought candy to throw. Any type of cart is welcome. Golf cart, ATV, UTV. People are also encouraged to decorate their cart. Breland said she knows one young man will be dressed as his favorite race car driver, Kyle Busch, and will drive an M&M-themed cart, suitable for a day when candy rules. Churches in town are also hosting trunk or treat events. And in Rantoul, the village and Chamber of Commerce are sponsoring a trunk or treat drive-through from 6 to 8 p.m. Saturday at the Village Recreation Department building at 100 East Flessner Avenue. Office manager Alyssa Fry said the event is similar to last year's downtown trunk or treat, but all recipients will stay in their vehicle. Each scene will hand out candies or treats of some sort. Families will drive through the area while remaining in their vehicles, viewing the scenes or trunks, and will make short stops to receive candy. Businesses, organizations, and village departments will have displays. People are being encouraged to enter Flessner Avenue off of Century Boulevard. The route will extend around the rec department building. And around the area, most area towns have set Halloween hours for early Saturday evening. In Urbana, canines can get in on the action from 4 to 5 p.m. Saturday at a Halloween trick and treat for the pups at the Urbana Dog Park. Dogs and their owners can trick or treat. The event is free to dog park members. Visitors will pay the daily rate to enter. Beginning Saturday, Homer Lake Interpretive Center will host a not-so-spooky fall nature walk from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. The event runs through November 5th. Senior citizen facilities in several area communities are hosting Halloween events. In Tuscola, Jarman Center for Senior Living will host a drive-boo at 5:30 p.m. Saturday at Irvin Park. Those planning to attend should start in the back of the park just past the baseball diamond. Senior Living staff will also be passing out candy under the canopy entrance. People are asked to wave to the residents as they will be watching from their windows. In Rantoul and Savoy, a community no-contact pumpkin walk will be hosted by the Village of Hollybrook and Reflections of Savoy in Rantoul. The event will be held from 6 to 8 p.m. Friday in Rantoul and Saturday in Savoy. Okay, we have High School Confidential. On Fridays during the school year, area students fill us in on what's happening in their hallways. And one of them is Gibson City, Melvin Sibley. It's the dance team coached by Tom Stone. Visited Choose to Change to film the variety show routine choreographed by Haven Hathaway. The video, part of November's virtual GCMS variety show, was filmed in a mirrored room filled with neon and black lights. And we have at Milford, the National Honor Society's Pie in the Face fundraiser allowed students to pony up $2 to vote for any teacher on the ballot and math teacher Brian Zecker got the most votes and got a pie in the face. And at Fisher, in place of homecoming, Spirit Week included Medical Monday, Twin Tuesday, Throwback Thursday, and Freaky Friday. And at the Academy School, juniors have been completing the process to become first aid and CPR/AED certified. On October 22nd, they were provided in-person training on mannequins. That is a great idea. At Uni High, the school's mock election was organized by social students teacher Ben Leff, who compiled an online ballot for students to submit. And in Monticello, we had Benjamin Keating and Ashley Long are this year's recipients of the SAR and DAR awards and will address their class at graduation on May 23rd, 2021. In Urbana, some elementary students returned to school this week. We are looking forward to providing some of our younger primary age, and that's from kindergarten to second grade students, with more support in classroom setting. And that was by Superintendent Jennifer Ivory Tatum. And DeLand Weldon, senior Wyatt Summers, finished third overall at the Boys Golf Regional in Danville and advancing to sectionals. In Armstrong Potomac, on Saturday, Potomac hosted a Halloween fall parade as student council had each class create floats. At St. Thomas More, at Saturday's sectional meet, Caroline Kerr and Anna McClure both competed in their main events. McClure placed third and broke her own school record in the 50 freestyle. At Centennial, seniors returned to school to take the SAT that was postponed in the spring. At Champaign Central, the girls' soccer team on Wednesday wrapped up a month-long series of fall workouts at Franklin Field and McKinley Field in hopes of a spring season. In Arcola, the Arcola Rotary Club presented the Senior of the Month awards for August and September. The students enjoying breakfast too. Pictured left to right, Kaylee Holbach, Fabiola Jamario, Mirka Elenas, and Garrett Segrist were all recipients. And at Judah Christian, the advancement office arranged a fundraiser called Rise Up for the tuition assistance program to financially support families. It consisted of a silent auction for donated items such as a vacation and golf package. And we have at St. Joseph Ogden, Spirit Week, used this year to spotlight Red Ribbon Week, a drug abuse prevention program, which including dress-up days as the student's body was split into two groups, maroon and Columbia Blue. It included Decades Day, which means decades of no drugs, Pajama Day, Put Drugs to Sleep, and Spartan Spirit, Team Up Against Drugs. And at Heritage, the senior class voted for candidates for the Pumpkin King and Queen Court, which subs for the Homecoming Court during Fall Festival. Pictured are Jackson Tater, Jack Humphrey, Sean Jones, Ryan Cheatham, Julian Harper, Audrey Wright Hancock, Milani Smith-Henry, and Anna Sanders. And this is going to take a break. I'm going to take a break right now from the reading of the News Gazette on Friday, October 30th. I'll be back shortly with the second half.